The following is a special message from Alan Wright Ministries. What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
Hope makes us endure what we would not otherwise endure. We need a gospel message that awakens hope.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright. Welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I just want to show you the second part of verse 2 of chapter 5. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So there's a rejoicing that is in hope. And then at chapter 8, towards the conclusion of this significant section, in chapter 8, at verse 24, in this hope we were saved. Lord, let there be an awakening of hope in every heart, not just for those who have suffered much at many hands, not just for those who currently endure fiery trials, but for us all who have the edge of our rejoicing perhaps ever so slightly blemished by the muffling of authentic hope. And let it be that this rebirth of hope not only awakens our souls to the sheer delight of being alive, but let it be that this hope in us is a beacon to a hopeless world. We pray no less than this, confidently in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes what we say is, I hope so. And what we mean by that is, it could be so. I wish it would be so. It might be so. It's been good to get away, have some vacation time. It's humbling, you know, to get the vacation time when I'm just with family. Because, walls break down and people say what they really think. Last year was the year that my Abigail, who was 9 at the time, and I was on the beach and I said there with no shirt on, try not to picture that in your mind's eye, and I said, I think I'm getting a little too fat. And little Abby said, Daddy, you don't look fat with a shirt on. And so I've added an Abbyism to the list this year. I was feeling more hopeful about things. And I said, I'd been exercising a lot on the vacation. And I said, Abby, I think I'm losing a little weight. I can tell it. And she said, good, Daddy, because nobody else can tell it. So it's good to get away, get that reality check of what it's all about. If you ask a child and say, what do you want for Christmas? And the child says, I hope I'm going to get a pony. The child means, I'm probably not going to get a pony, but I'd like to get a pony. There's a slim chance I could get a pony. I'm hoping for a pony. And if the parent said, well, I doubt it, but maybe, then the child, you might say, had her hopes go up. So we see hope as sort of wishful thinking. And if the chance of getting the thing hoped for increase, then I'm getting my hopes up. In fact, we even use the word to try to protect ourselves from getting disappointed. We'll say, well, I'm trying not to get my hopes up. Because we see hope as something that is just a vulnerability waiting to be dashed upon the rocks of disappointment and despair. So we try to manage to keep our hopes at some even keel where we don't expect too much. I hope so. To us, I hope so means I wish it could be. Possibly it could be. I hope so. You're going to shoot a good score in golf today? I hope so. Probably not, but I hope so. It might be one of those rare days. Are you going to you're gonna get that job? I hope so. I don't know that I am. I've got no assurance of that. I hope so. You going to keep your job? I hope so. I hope so. I want to spend 12 weeks to transform what I hope so means into what I think the scripture means by hope, so that maybe we could say to each other in the future, I hope so, and we will mean something entirely different. If you ask a child, what do you want for Christmas? And she says, I'm hoping for a pony, then that's wishful thinking. But if it's the month of December, and you say to a child, what are you looking forward to? And she says, Christmas. That is not a wishful thought. That is a certain thought. December 25th is coming. And because it's coming, the child is living in a joyful expectancy, an assurance, if you will, that Christmas is most certainly on its way. So the hope that is manifested in the child is not, according to Scripture, defined by our wishful thinking of what might be, but instead what hope is the condition of the soul that has been assured of future blessing and assured of our place in Christ through the gospel. So, returning to the metaphor of Christmas, hope causes us to spend a lot of time and effort and money building towards Christmas Day. And we do those things out of the assurance that Christmas is coming. We don't say, well, I hope Christmas is going to come this year. There's no Grinch that's going to come and make December 25th not appear. Christmas is coming, whether it's recession or not, you know, it's coming. And so that's the way children think, and it's really the way we do also. We develop traditions at Christmas. We do things that it's not Christmas Day yet, but we do them in hope of Christmas. Our children get a little Advent. We got a little Advent wreath. They put each day, not the wreath, but the little calendar, Advent calendar. They put a little thing in the calendar each day until the last day. You put the little baby Jesus in there and you're building up to it. It's not Christmas Day, but I'm having a lot of fun putting this little thing in the calendar because that's part of the expression of hope. We get the Christmas decorations down out of the attic. That's not fun at all. That's not all. That's terrible. In my family, I go up and I put those Christmas decorations up in that attic. And every time I go up there, I bang my head on a crossbeam of some type. And I organize it. And then all throughout the year, they go up there and they just throw stuff in the way. And so my nice Christmas section is all blocked by junk and stuff. And so then I got to go up there and get the Christmas decorations and bring them all down, box after box of Christmas decorations. And it's not fun. And yet I do it in hope. Christmas is coming, you see. So we're going to decorate. And you get older. Some of you guys, you just get you a big attic, decorate you a fake tree, and just take the whole thing and put it into the... Some of you do that. I'm sure you do. But even that, you get the tree out in hope that Christmas is coming. In our family, we have traditions. We'll go up to mountains, get a Christmas tree. We're going to go to the candle tea down at Old Salem. All these things. What I'm saying is, because I know Christmas is coming, it informs the condition of our thought life and our soul now. And that anticipatory, expectant celebration that's going on now, even though the big day's not here yet, the celebration in my soul's already taking place, that is hope. So hope, biblically, is not I'm wishing that it would come, but it is I'm knowing it's coming, and therefore it changes everything about how I look at life. And I can't think of any more urgent message to this generation than the message of the hope of the gospel. Because if there is a word to describe the greatest persecution spiritually against the emerging generation, I'd have to say the word is hopelessness.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart: hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again.
For your donation to Sharing the Light right now, we'll send you a copy as our thank you gift from Sharing the Light Ministries. Ask for it when you contact us. Our toll-free number is 877-LIGHT-60. That's 877-LIGHT-60. Or online at sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
We have many different generations represented in this room right now. There was a generation. You fought in the war, came home, got a job, and if you worked hard and you were loyal to that company, then that company would honor you, reward you, and you could work there the rest of your life. And there's maybe some people in this room. You worked in one place for 30 years, and you didn't get up in the morning and think, "I wonder if today I'll go in to this seemingly faultless organization and somebody that doesn't even know what I do hardly will come in and give me some information that I am the latest victim of an economic downturn." You didn't have that in a previous generation, but you do now. You see? And it's not that there's somebody to blame for that particularly, it's just it has changed. And that is the reality. It has changed. It is not the same world. What does that teach the child who grew up and saw dad four different times came home and said, "I lost my job"? Well, what does it teach the child? It teaches the child that you don't have any certainty that somebody in some organization is going to be loyal to you. And so why should you go in there and feel a great commitment to them when you don't really have any sense of assurance that something better is coming? You don't have an assurance you're going to get promoted, much less even going to have your job. And if you start thinking like that, there's a word for that, and it's hopelessness. And what hopelessness produces is an incapacity to have any joy about committing to something. You see, people will say about the young generation today, and they'll say this is the problem with this generation is they don't commit to anything. It wasn't like previous generations. Previous generations, they said, if I'm on that committee, I'll show up, I'll be there, and I'll be there on time, and they would be. And the young generation don't want to commit to anything. That's what you'll hear said. I don't believe it at all. I've spent too much time with the young generation. I've watched what we do here on Saturday nights for years now, and I've watched teams of people come in here, remove pews from the whole front, take them out, unbolt them, roll them out on a thing, put them in some other place in the building, set up cafe tables, somebody else come up here, set up a whole different band, and then at 11 o'clock, about 5 or 6 hours after they started, come back and redo the whole thing and do it every week for years. It is a commitment that is incredible, and it is fun to be a part of. The problem is not in a generation that can't make a commitment. The problem is in the root of hopelessness in the heart of so many. Because if you don't have hope for a future, if you don't have a hope that things are coming that are good, then why do I commit to anything now? And the problem of hopelessness is not just that I can't commit to something, can't seem to commit to getting married. Why is everybody waiting forever to get married? Don't wait so long. I'm trying to tell my kids now, get married, get me some grandchildren, you know? I'm setting up now. He's 14. I'm like, don't wait till you're 35. Why? We have a fear of all this because we've seen not only the company that was no longer loyal to dad, but we've seen the parents break up and break up and break up, and it has bred this sense of hopelessness that makes me think that maybe commitment's not a good thing. What it does is when you don't have hope, it becomes very difficult. When life gets painful, it becomes very difficult to feel like you're blessed, and it becomes very difficult to endure. Hope makes us endure what we would not otherwise endure. We need a gospel message that awakens hope to a hopeless generation. And I don't know any other message that provides authentic hope except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God to us. And so I think about hope, and there's some things that are intriguing before we start digging in this text. Hope is distinguished in the scripture from faith. They're very close, though. So close that they're often mentioned in the same breath. There's faith, there's hope, there's love. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. They coexist inseparably in many ways. But hope is not the same thing as faith. Faith is, I'm sure that December 25th will come, so Christmas is coming. I'm sure of that. That's faith. Hope is, therefore, I'm getting down the Christmas decorations, and we're going to be having some Christmas parties, and we're baking some cookies. That's hope. I'm looking forward to it. That's what hope says. I believe it. That's what faith says. And so they're very closely related, but different. Faith comes by, there are two things that are mentioned about the arrival of faith in our life in the scripture. One is that faith is a gift. It's given to you. And that faith, the way it is it evolves and is in fact born in us is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hope, however, comes by a different process. It's interesting, similarly, that hope is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, where Paul describes the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will, as a byproduct, like the oranges that get produced on an orange tree, not by striving or willpower, but by simply being an orange tree that is well nourished, the fruit of the orange comes. Just by being a Spirit-filled believer who is nourished well, then love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control manifest in our lives. You don't strive or go through some other process by which you get love in your life except by abiding in Christ. And I think it is interesting that hope is not listed as a fruit of the Spirit, which says that as important as it is to be anointed of the Holy Spirit, that it is not the particular gift of a Holy Spirit, nor even a particular fruit of the Holy Spirit, but that hope is the ordinary condition of the Christian's life that has the outworkings of the faith described in Romans chapter 5. Here's how it works, according to Romans 5, verse 1, where we start. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Now, this is the beginning point of all hope, is that we must absolutely believe that we are not justified by the law. And this is exceedingly difficult because the sinful human heart gravitates towards the law. And even when we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and simple faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it still does not prevent us from returning back to the law.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching, Rejoicing in Hope.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart, hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Is it a seed of the enemy to take the hope of the gospel and twist it into anxiety and despair?
It is. I think that sometimes people hear the gospel incorrectly, and we even announce it sometimes. And if it gets tainted or mixed with a little legalism, the gospel can end up sounding like you need to try harder or else you're under condemnation. Now, we may not put it that way, but we can end up hearing it like that.
Right.
But everything that makes the good news good is that it is laden with hope, which means certainty of increased future blessedness that instructs how we live today.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.